The summer of 1963 was a pivotal period in the civil rights movement. Throughout the South, its leaders were working to end segregation. But for every luminary of the movement, there are dozens whose names are lesser known. One of them is Bob Moses, a Northerner who organized Mississippi sharecroppers to demand the right to vote. As NPR's Christopher Connolly reports, his work continues today around the country, but now it's in classrooms.
The library at Miami Northwestern High School became a mathematics laboratory this summer. Students cluster into small groups. At one table, they're working on polynomials with colorful tubes and blocks. Across the room, they chart parabolas on poster-sized graph paper.
So let's just start with how do you construct the axis of symmetry?
Bob Moses grew up in Harlem. He's a Harvard-trained philosopher and a veteran teacher. He started this math training program, the Algebra Project, with a MacArthur Genius Grant 30 years ago. Moses is 78 now, but he has the same probing eyes you see behind thick black glasses in photos from 50 years ago when he was a civil rights activist in Mississippi. He expects a lot from these students, but he's gentle with them.
We need to get the vocabulary so you can talk it, right? We need to talk this math.
The goal is simple. Take students who score worst on state math tests, double up on the subject for 4 years, and get them ready to do college-level math by the end of high school.
Education is still basically Jim Crow as far as the kids who are in the bottom economic strata of the country.
And that makes this work as important as the work he did 50 years ago.
The place, Greenwood, Mississippi. It was there this week that hundreds of Negroes stood in line to take voters' registration tests.
And Bob Moses was right there with them. He spent the early 60s working for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in Mississippi. At the time, the group was struggling to make headway in the state. They faced a largely poor and rural black population who lived in terror of well-organized and brutal white supremacists. But by 1963, things were changing. Moses had sharecroppers in Greenwood lining up at the county courthouse every day to try to register to vote. It's clear from this ABC report that this became national news. Moses led marchers through town. They faced down police with dogs.
It was the most dramatic incident in a long week of incidents. 11 marchers were jailed on disorderly conduct charges.
The ensuing trial was a spectacle. Bob Moses remembers the courtroom packed with supporters, federal district judge Claude Clayton presiding.
And I'm on the witness stand, and he looks at me and he says, "Why are you taking illiterates down to register to vote?" Basically, we said, "Well, look, the country can't have its cake and eat it too. It can't have denied a whole people access to literacy and then turn around and deny people access to voting."
He spoke quietly. He didn't give big sermons like Martin Luther King.
Taylor Branch is a leading historian of the civil rights era.
He didn't seek out dramatic confrontations like the Freedom Riders and the sit-ins, but he did inspire a broad range of grassroots leadership, and in that sense, he became legendary.
Branch says Moses was self-effacing, observant, and sensitive, that he went to serve Mississippi sharecroppers and ended up a leader, helping push voter registration to the center of civil rights work.
To this day, he is a startling paradox because I think his influence is almost on par with Martin Luther King, and yet he's almost totally unknown.
A year after Greenwood, Moses helped line up African-American candidates to run for state office, and he spearheaded Freedom Summer, which brought white students from elite northern colleges south. As the movement made progress, the danger only increased. Moses was shot at and threatened. Workers were jailed and surveilled. Some were killed.
Moses was very sensitive to the notion that people were dying by following his example. And that weighed very heavily on him to the point that after Freedom Summer, the great Freedom Summer of 1964, he dropped out of the movement.
Moses went to Canada to avoid the draft in 1965 and on to Tanzania, where he taught math. Then, in the late 70s, he returned to the U.S. to finish his graduate studies at Harvard. And in 1982, he launched the Algebra Project. His first high school was in Jackson, Mississippi. Now, 3 decades later, the project has been in hundreds of classrooms across the country, working with kids like Charlene Delanoise. She was part of the first class here in Miami and graduated in 2010.
It gave me another way of looking at math.
Delanoy says before the algebra project, she hated math. And she still remembers the moment algebra clicked for her.
One time I was taking a test and this equation came up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the same equation we've been doing. It's just, it wasn't in the same format. So I was like, oh, I know this. And I figured it out. I was so proud of myself. I was like, yeah.
Now, Delanoise is studying to be a nurse. She's the first in her family to go to college. And Bob Moses says that's the whole point. He's teaching kids to be competent in math and in the process empowering them with the skills they need to be successful in today's economy. Delanoise is a weapon in that fight. She's back at Miami Northwestern this summer mentoring kids. Some are having trouble seeing that the algebra project will work for them. At the end of the day, the students are sitting in a big circle for a daily debriefing. Moses munches on sunflower seeds, letting the students lead the discussion. He's clearly as comfortable listening as he is talking. One student asks a question.
Why am I keep hearing something about other
She wants to know why what she's learning doesn't look like the stuff on Florida's standardized math test. It's a question Moses hears all the time, so he jumps in, reassuring her that what she's learning will prepare her for that test, and more importantly, it'll prepare her for what's next.
What counts is when you leave this high school, you are ready to do college math for college credit. That's what will count. Trust me.
The struggles of the 60s can seem far away today, but Moses infuses some of that history, his history, into this work. Just a couple blocks from Miami Northwestern is a short wall, painted yellow. It's what's left of an infamous segregation wall, built in 1939 to divide black and white neighborhoods. Many of his students walk by it every day, but few knew what it stood for until they met Bob Moses. Standing in front of this relic of the past, he looks forward, hopeful.
I've lived most of my life, right? What I would like to see happen in this country in my lifetime is the next generation get ready to take the next lurch forward.
That next lurch forward, he says, is that every child in the country can get a quality public education and that the nation's promise of freedom continues to grow. Christopher Connolly, NPR News.